It's the Midnight Radio Network. And Ask the Law. All across America we are. 800-288-9227. Drivers, if you have a question for retired senior trooper Monty Dial, 800-288-9227. Hours of service.
What happened
CSA
to the
2010?
What happened to the Cowboys?
What happened to the Cowboys?
What happened to the Bills?
Gary, we'll take all those questions.
I'm Gary McNamara, along with Marv Albert on the other side over there. Eric Harley.
All right, here is the deal. I don't do a Marv Albert. That's the deal. Here's
yes!
the deal. It is.
Yes!
That's
yes!
that's all I got. That's all anybody does. Football, Keith Jackson. Okay, we've got this little thing we call Ask the Law for Monday, September 12, 2011, and it's a courtesy of Old Blue USA. I want to thank R.J. Taylor for doing this, putting this on for years, and retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol is here. The information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, September 12, 2011, but they can change without notice. You should know that. Go to askthelaw.org to submit your C&D questions anytime. Statements or comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. You and I were talking during the break because, and it's just that. With this whirlwind of regulatory storm that we have here in the, okay, we've got two different EOBR rules yeah. that are out there. We've got hours of service. And what there is out, what was out there as of December of last year, was Christmas Eve, the 23rd
right.
actually, that
right.
came out. And we came in and did a special Christmas Eve
right.
show
right.
Based on this proposal. But that was not an official MPRM.
No.
And people should know that what's coming in October is an MPRM.
Right.
What we and I guess we clarified that in a couple of ways because they are the FMCSA said when they floated this proposal last December that they were favoring a 10-hour rule, but they were willing to listen to people who would argue
yes.
for an 11-hour drive time rule.
Yes.
Okay. So here's what we have, and we don't know. Essentially, how much of this proposal will make it into the MPRM? I guess that's
correct.
That's where my confusion came in, is how much of this the FMCSA would put into an MPRM.
Right. Well, and two, when we went in and did the show last December, FMCSA was responding to the court challenge,
right.
which said you got to go back and rewrite them.
Mm-hmm.
So what FMCSA wanted to do was they wanted to take and put out ideas
yeah.
or put out notices for people to comment on
right.
so that they could go back and say, okay, where are our comments? Do we have comments that favor this, or do we have comments that don't like this and want to go here, want to go there? It's just like they set up the listening sessions.
Right, right.
And so what they're doing is they threw some ideas out there, kind of bounce them off of a wall, see what kind of reaction we're going to get, and then we're going to take that, and now we're going to sit down and we're going to write our notice of proposed rulemaking.
Mm-hmm.
Once that hits the Federal Register, the clock starts. And that's when everybody needs to take and contact their forms on how they can submit their comments.
Mm-hmm.
Either they can email them or use snail mail.
Mm-hmm.
And once they close that, then they will go back and review and then issue the final rule.
All right, and we don't know how much of these. There were six main items
yes.
here outside of oil field operations,
right?
And it would again, it would on the. They don't know whether it would be 10 or 11. And the FMCSA under this proposal said we favor the 10, but we don't know yet.
Correct.
We're going to listen,
right?
And we've had countless listening sessions since then,
right?
To you know, I think to their credit, to the
yes.
FMCSA's credit. Number two, it would limit the standard driving window, a driving window,
right.
to 14 hours while allowing that number to be extended to 16 hours twice a week. Number three, actual duty time within the driving window would be limited to 13 hours. In other words, you would basically have to take
a one-hour
break somewhere in that time. Drivers would be permitted to drive only if 7 hours or less have passed since their last off-duty time, which means they would have to take at least a 30-minute break. It says the period of at least 30 minutes. Again, this is just a proposal.
Correct.
Not an NPRM.
Correct.
Not a rule. And the 34-hour restart, which would basically... this 34-hour restart would have to include two periods between midnight and 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
So under this proposal, and could start no sooner than 168 hours after the beginning of the previous designated restart.
Right.
So what that means is you couldn't start a 34-hour restart except between 8 p.m. and midnight.
Correct.
In order to fit those two periods of midnight to 6.
Correct.
And again, you could not, you wouldn't have it available to you anytime. If your carrier said, hey, you're going to be out at least 36 hours, and you don't have that 34-hour available to you because it hasn't been 168 hours since you started the last 34-hour restart, then you would basically be sitting there for 34 hours.
Yes.
And doing nothing for your 70.
Correct.
Okay. So there, and then number six, the definition of on duty would be revised to allow some time spent in or on the CMV to be logged as off duty, which means basically riding shotgun for partners for drive teams would be allowed.
Yes.
And for a certain period.
Correct.
Not for your entire break.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't know how much, if any, of these main six items would fall under an NPRM.
That's correct.
No clue whatsoever.
No clue.
Is this the first time that we've been waiting on an NPRM that we haven't had any kind of indication on this?
Yes.
Because normally there is some information in the reason, like I sat on a jury one time. I was the jury foreman, and when there were questions coming back, or when the judge had something, you know, he'd be very clear, and if there were questions going back and forth, you would essentially be able to figure out where the concern was.
Correct.
And in the past, if I remember correctly, on hours of service NPRMs, there were some exchanges going back, so we kind of got an idea of where, what direction they were heading.
Yes, yes.
And what might be in that NPRM.
Correct.
And now we're just totally out in the dark.
Correct.
Wow.
They are tight-lipped.
Yeah. It's and we were talking about something else during the top of the hour, or going into the top of the hour break, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, so stand by. But I want to get to a caller before we go to a break. 800-288-9227. It's Ask the Law. Get on board now, by the way, drivers. We have an open line, 800-288-9227. Let's get to you.
Let's go to John in Missouri. John, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. You're on Ask the Law. Hi, John.
Good morning, sir.
Morning, John.
Trooper Dial.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your many years of service to the state of Texas, and I'm going to give deference to you on this question, but is there not a DSMS? Yes, there's a DSMS. Also, is there a PSP, a pre-employment screening profile? My points stay with me for 36 months and stay with my carrier for 24 months. Please walk with me down this trail. Drivers are rated.
No, they're not. They're,
okay.
What they do, John, is the prospective employer, when a driver goes in and puts in an application for a motor carrier, under the current system right now, the motor carrier did not have any type of information to look up on the driver, other than information that his previous employer or employers would provide. So they came up with the pre-screening employment program. What that does is it includes all roadside inspections that a driver has gone through for the past 3 years. It will also list all the motor carriers that driver has worked with or for the past 3 years, provided that the driver got a roadside inspection. They will also have the last 5 years of DOT recordable crashes, provided that you were involved in a DOT recordable crash. If you've never gone through a roadside inspection, you've never had a DOT recordable crash, you will have no data on a PSP.
That is factually accurate. So the new guy, the brand new guy, the least experienced guy, does not show up with that data that follows him for 36 months and stays with the carrier for 24 months.
Correct.
I had this discussion year before last at Mid-America with Mrs. Fierro, and she was too busy to come this year, so she sent a designee at the largest truck show in the world. So I'm going to ask you the question in a different way. Do my points affect my new carrier?
No.
They don't travel with the carrier. I mean, they don't travel to the new carrier.
No.
They travel just with me.
No.
No.
They don't go anywhere.
Okay. My, let's just say, doing the right thing for my current carrier, I've obtained 25 points, and I will not get another one. Not on purpose. But I got 25 points on my CSA or PSP or really my DSMS. Do those 25 points transfer to my new carrier
No.
Do they stay with me?
Well, what? See here again.
I'm trying to make my point that we are rated. I know that you all want me to believe that we're not rated, but if that were not the case, a guy with 200 points could go get another job.
No. Because what is assumed here by the new carrier that's hiring you is that history of behavior will continue under their authority.
See, what they do is the PSP was set up, and you can take and order and get a copy of your PSP.
Yes.
Your PSP will show you the inspections that you have gone through, and it will show you the violations. It does not have a score on that PSP anywhere as to what your score is with FMCSA.
It shows the point violations as they relate to the inspections, yes?
I don't think they even show that.
I don't think they're even weighted. They're not even weighted
on the PSP. No, they're not even weighted on the PSP.
No.
All it does is it will give you...
You would have to look that up.
Yes, you can look it up. There's, you know, the data is out there, and if you want to take the time and go find out... you know, you've got a defective stop lamp on an inspection that happened yesterday. Well, that's three times whatever the value.
Three times five.
You know,
15 points this year, 10 points next year, and 5 points the year after.
Right. But here again, nowhere on that PSP is it going to tell you or tell a prospective employer your score is this many points. Even under the SMS, the motor carrier's report, it does not give them a score. What they do is there is a what looks like a little speedometer, and it goes from 0 to 100, and it's broken down into the 7 basics, and each one of those basics has a value based upon the number of roadside inspections and the types of violations that they have been that drivers have accumulated, but they're also based upon the motor carriers that are in their peer group.
Now, I don't want any of the three of you all to become upset with me.
No.
We're only really showing on the public access website. Mm-hmm. 5 of the 7, and the whole thing was designed, the whole CSA, which has changed, the name of it's changed, was designed to indicate crash probability. And both crash probability and load securement, and there's big discussion about load securement, but load securement and crash probability, those two basics are not available. I understand the whole insurance reasonings for that. But we designed this system to make us safer, mm-hmm. and the biggest thing that we're looking for, we're only able to see 5 of the basics on the public website.
That's right now.
Yes.
And the only reason that the public is not allowed to look at the load securement has to do with there are some issues on what is being reported. Once they get the issues corrected, that will become available just like they will once the crashes.
All right, and thank you for the call. We're up against the break. We are really tight on time. We try to give you as much time as possible, and hopefully that cleared it up. We'll try and expand on that later in fact, just a moment. That, in fact, opens up a line right now if you want to get in on Ask the Law. 800-288-9227. Back with Trooper Dahl in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law with retired senior trooper Monty Dial. Drivers, get your questions in right now at 800-288-9227. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And it is Ask the Law for Monday, September 12, 2011. All the information and answers are up to date as of today. Can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. 800-288-9227. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Go there. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law, and you can submit your CMV questions anytime. Let's get another question in before we get back to the CSA thing. We were having some great discussion before the break, and then actually during the break as well. So we'll get back to that in just a moment. Let's get back to you right now.
We go to JR in Arkansas. JR, hi, you're on the Midnight Radio Network. Welcome. Hi, you're on Ask the Law.
Hi, guys. I got a question on the officers. Status on being able to ask you about your logbook. They want to look at your log, and in Georgia, where I'm from, I know the local law don't have the right to ask you for your book, but you don't know all across the country, and you get asked by local police and everybody who has the right in law enforcement to ask you for your logbook.
JR, let me answer it this way, and I'm not trying to be facetious or anything like that. If a guy pulls you over and he's in a marked unit, he's got red and blue lights or blue lights depending upon what state you're in, he gets out and he's got a uniform and he's got a badge and a gun, if he walks up and asks you for your logbook, show it to him.
All right.
Where you're going to be interested in whether or not he can legally enforce violations if he finds it. Those are the only ones that the DOT certified trooper or inspector. There are some cities that allow their city police officers to enforce, and there are some sheriffs that enforce the DOT regulations. But if a police officer wants to pull you over and says, let me look at your logbook, hand your logbook to him, let him look at it, because chances are he's probably not going to have the slightest clue what's going on.
Oh, that's exactly right. That's why I was wondering who was able to look at it. I know I've told them no, call somebody that's got the authority to look at it. When it's local police from the area I'm from, but traveling other states and stuff, you don't ever know who has, who
don't. Most of your major metropolitan cities will have some troopers or some police officers that are trained, provided that the state has a program where they can get into that. In Texas, we have quite a bit of the big cities, Dallas, Fort Worth, Austin, San Antonio, places like that, El Paso, but you get some of these little small cities, and in fact, my son, he's been accused of doing that, and he works in a city that's only got 7,000 people in it. And he'll sit there and pull a driver over, and he'll say, let me see your logbook. The driver hand him his logbook. He'll look at it and give it back to him. He has no clue. Even though he and I, we talked about it, and there's a lot of stuff that he picks up, during the conversation when I was working. And so I'm sure he probably is aware of what all is supposed to be on there, but as far as him enforcing the regulations, he has no authority to enforce them.
Yeah. Well, you know, times are hard, and some of the local city police, if you go in front of that judge, he's just going to, you know, more or less tell you you're going to pay that fine. I mean, I've seen it happen on occasion. If you don't know somebody, to see about it or hire a lawyer.
Well, you always have a right to challenge your accuser in court.
Yes.
That's always the case.
And here again, that may be what they're doing, is asking your truck driver, let me see your logbook, and writing something up, because they know that what are the chances of you ever coming back? And I can take and remember back when I first got into law enforcement way back in the 70s. You know, we always had a saying going around, a paid ticket's a good ticket.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but as times have gone by, you know, we realize that just because we're going to write somebody a ticket doesn't necessarily make it right. And if a small police department that has no authority to enforce the regulations, you know, I would start first by trying to contact, you know, write a letter, try to call the chief of police or somebody and say, what's going on? You know, are your officers properly trained to enforce the DOT regulations?
Is that an actual certification by the federal government, or how?
Well,
what
they have to do is, if it's a police department, and for them to be able to enforce it, they would have to go through their state.
Mm-hmm.
Would set the guidelines up, and they would have to train them and be certified through the state,
right,
to enforce the regulations.
Yeah. So, all right. Thank you for the call. We do appreciate that, JR. We appreciate you calling in, 800-288-9227. Before we get to a break, we'll talk more on this on the other side. I'm sure we'll need the time. But we were talking about CSA.
Okay.
And the caller, you know, basically was saying, yeah, but while officially there's no score, there kind of is a score. Look, these items, and this is coming from my perspective, and you can fill in the gaps where, or correct me where I'm wrong, Trooper Dial, but basically what you're looking at is when under the PSP, an employer is looking to hire a driver.
Correct.
It's kind of like a background check. And I know a little something about background checks, but say, for instance, on a background check, they see an item like theft by check for under $100 that happened in 1987. And that was the only thing that came up on a background check. Based on that, a lot of employers would likely hire you.
Yes.
What they're looking at, even if a company, and we mentioned Vigilo last hour, even if a company like Vigilo gives a driver a scorecard, a score.
Mm-hmm.
There are carriers, I'm sure, that could look at that and say, well, you know, that score is higher, this score is that, and, you know, as they're kind of going through their prospective hires here, they can look at that and say, okay, this doesn't... But when that score actually doesn't mean anything until they look at the actual events, what makes up that driver's record. Because that score doesn't come to the new carrier.
No.
It is not transferred to the new carrier. What is assumed here is that your pattern of behavior will continue.
Yes.
So if you had, over the last 3 years, something that averaged out about, I don't know, once every other month, and you had an event that was recent in the last 60 days, and it looked like a pretty consistent pattern, that carrier is going to assume that pattern of behavior is going to continue under their authority.
Correct.
So that's where it comes into where they might do what Vigilo's doing. A carrier might look and say, okay, this is this, and let's look at the weights on these. They're not going to get that under a PSP
No.
or even a MCMAS. They're not going to get those weights, but they can take those weights from other, you know, information, apply those weights, and look at it and say, okay, look at these weights. These are all heavily weighted items here. It doesn't look like this driver would be a good risk, because looks like we believe maybe that this pattern of behavior will continue under our authority.
Yes.
Because ultimately what that means is, and remember, a carrier can lose their authority. They can have their doors shut. A driver cannot lose their CDL under CSA.
Correct.
So the ultimate game here is the carriers have to make sure they're not going to hire a driver that has a pattern of behavior under CSA that they believe would continue, that shows a consistency, that shows that pattern, that consistent pattern, that would point to a continued pattern under their authority.
Correct. And you know, it, here again, whether or not a score is good or bad, that's a score that somebody has to make a determination.
Right.
And the PSP does not have a score attached to it.
Nope.
Whether or not a motor carrier will order the PSP and then take it to the back room and somebody sits down and all of a sudden, you know, assigns a score and, and they say, we're not going to hire this driver because his score is above a certain level. That's not what the program was set up.
Right. They may make that decision, but carriers are making those decisions anyway.
Oh, yeah. They're making those all the time.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what you said. They are looking for patterns of behavior.
Right. So if many of those, let's say they are heavily weighted items, events, on you know, under the last 3 years of your driving record, but many of them happened, or most of them happened, or let's say all of them happened in the first, you know, that are weighted earlier now, and I realize that those weights come down as the time goes by.
Right.
But let's just imagine that, you know, you get a certain score, and they look at it and say, well, they were heavily weighted items, but now it's been 18 months.
Right.
It's been 2 years.
Well, and what they would do in that case right there, they would look and say, okay, did that driver leave this company?
Right.
And go to another company.
Right.
You know, okay, well, you know, what were the problems? And they may ask the driver, what was the problem? You know, why did we have all of these inspections with these violations with this company here?
Right.
Now then the driver has a chance. Well, yeah, this company wouldn't make any repairs.
Right. We always failed on brakes. We always failed on tires. And all of this, and that happened under that carrier's authority. Okay, we're going to wrap it up. There's never enough time for this show, ever. We're going to wrap it up here in just a few minutes. It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network. It's the Midnight Radio Network, and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Hurley.
Don't forget, drivers, you can go to the website, askthelaw.org, and click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law and submit your CMD questions anytime. We want to thank Old Blue USA for making Ask the Law possible for many, many years on this program, and Trooper Dial for his dedication as well. And we want to say congratulations. You ran into the Driver of the Year, the Grand Champion.
Yeah, I want to give a shout-out to Paul Phillips, who is a driver for Conway Freight out of California. He was the 2011 Grand Champion at the Annual Truck Driving Championship.
Pretty awesome. Conway's done, they've ponied up over the last 3 years, Grand Championship.
Yes.
And, in fact, we talked with Paul on the air. We had him on a couple weeks ago. Great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Had some great advice for drivers, and it's just terrific. I just like to see it when these drivers get something that recognizes how much skill is involved in what they do, you know? It's just tremendous, because anybody who believes that that's not a skilled trade has never been behind the wheel of one of those trucks.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, just amazing. So congratulations to Paul. All right, coming up the next time on Ask the Law, we will be watching, of course, for anything on hours of service. Of course, talk more about EOBRs and CSA and everything else. Lots of acronyms on this program.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We appreciate it, Trooper Dial. We'll talk to you next month.
We'll be here.
It is Ask the Law
on the Midnight Radio Network.